But look at this. It's not just about the historical figure Jesus, right? It's not about the Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago. It's about the Jesus that's alive tonight. Amen. Yes. Amen. Right? And it's not just about the Jesus that's alive tonight. It's the fact that we're alive in him tonight. If we really could see that, here's what I'm convinced of. I'm convinced that if we could see what happened at the new birth and we could see ourselves as the spiritual men and women that we are, then our lives would be different. Our lives would be different. I believe that the only way that Satan can have dominion over your life is because you don't know who you are in Christ. And he's deceived you into believing a lie. Right? That has so much implication. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself tonight, although, you know, we'll just go where the Spirit wants us to go. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, again, when we're talking about these things and we're talking about, you know, sometimes we get into the do's and the don'ts, right? Because there are do's and don'ts. You know, if you're a Christian, do this. If you're not, you know, right? And so you should act like this. You put off the old man, put on the new man. But it's all because of our position in Christ. I'm not doing this out of a religious act to try to get something. I'm doing this because of who I am and who he's made me to be. Come on. Come on, there's power in that. And it's not my effort that's getting it done. It's the power that lives on the inside of me that gives me the ability to do what he asked me to do. Woo, glory to God. Now listen, this is really cool. Verse 1, and children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. It's really an interesting thing because, like we talked about last week, it's, you know, that wives are supposed to respect their husbands and husbands are supposed to love their wives, and it's not because they're acting in a way that's worthy of it. It's because it's commanded to us by God. In other words, I'm not going to measure my love for my wife based on how much she respects me. I'm going to love my wife because that's what God told me to do. Does that? And so when we get to this verse, because it says, again, it says to honor, you know, honor your father and mother. Now, sometimes that's not easy to do. Why? Because you might not have got the greatest parents in the world. Thank you very much for your enthusiasm. I mean, I had great parents, but no parent is perfect. But it says that we're to honor them and honor their position no matter what. Right? Because there's a promise attached to that. So yeah, but I'm an adult, man. I haven't lived in my folks' house for, you know, 50 years. Right? Yeah, about that. 40 years, maybe. Right? So, but do I still have, my folks are both in heaven. Do I still have to honor them? I better. Why? Because he told me to. But there's also a blessing that comes through lineage. Let me just say that. There's a blessing that comes through lineage. Now, I'll just say this. Did you know that God knew who you were before you ever were conceived? He knew who you were, but watch this. He knew who your parents were going to be. He knew who your parents were going to be. And watch this. There's something about that. Your parents were privileged to have you. But you're privileged to have your parents. Justin, you were a little enthusiastic. But watch this. But watch this. We live in a fallen world where that got messed up because people are people. But we're to continue to honor what God has established. And if we don't honor it, then we actually mess it up a little bit. But I want the promise, because what's the promise? He said again that the promise is that you may live long on the earth. But not just live long on the earth, live well on the earth. Right? Live well on the earth. I want a good life. Do you want a good life? Well, then honor your parents and continue to honor them. All right. And we're going to get through this pretty quickly because I've got a place I want to be. But, I mean, not other than here in the Word. that it may be well with you and live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Well, you know, we all know that that can be done fairly easily, right? And I'm not going to go into this completely, but the word father here, it does mean the male nurturer that also is the one who disciplines, brings out corporal discipline, right? But this applies to both parents. You know, in the Greek, it can apply to anyone who is in the position to discipline. So mothers and fathers don't... But here's what I believe that every parent should do, is that we ought to be praying, God, what is your... I mean, when we first find out that we're pregnant, you know, Lord, what is the destiny of the child that you blessed me with? Because I want to nurture them to fulfill my destiny, their destiny. I don't want to raise them to make me look good or make my life easy, right? And so that's why when they kids come out, it's like they don't have a manual with them, right? And how could two children or three children, or in my mom's case, 12 children, come out from the same place and be so totally different, right? And so if we don't seek God for our children and what their destiny is, we're going to try to raise them to all be the same, and they don't fit in the same mold. And what that can do is it can thwart God's plan for them. Why? Because if I'm trying to make my kid be, you know, the same as me, when he's wired or she's wired different, then she's going to be frustrated. And I'm going to be frustrated. But when I can find out, well, now, wait a minute, God, we're not all the same. Praise the Lord for that. And we're not supposed to be. But I can begin to, okay, Lord, what's their destiny? And then I won't be frustrated, so I won't be in a position to bring them to a place of wrath or anger or, you know, glory to God. When my son was born, I've told the story a lot, but I got the mic so I can tell it again. And I held him, and his little head was right here. I couldn't put him there now. He's over 6 foot. But you know, and his feet were dangling right here, and I looked at him, and here's, I mean, I am I telling you this? I can still remember it. Remember what I was wearing, scrubs, and where I was at, the color of the walls in the room, all of that. And looking down at him, and I said, God, I said, Father, you love me this much? Because it was a love that I'd never experienced before. I love my parents, I love my wife, but this was bone of my bone. I mean, this was my son. And I had a similar circumstance with Donnie, but it was like, you love me this much? And he said, no, more. But then they said this to me. And I mean, this didn't come out of a textbook anywhere. This was his spirit speaking to my heart. He said, I'm giving him to you, but he doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me. So, that means I need to be responsible for giving them enough direction and correction to get into a place where they can fulfill the destiny that God has for them. And if you're like me, God, help me not to screw it up. Right? And so this speaks to this, but watch this. All of the things that we're going to be talking about right here, we do it not from a position of being without the wisdom of God in our lives. Why? Because if we're in Christ, God has made unto us wisdom. If we're in Christ, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and he'll lead us into all truth. Right? And he said, if you ask me, I'll tell you. Again, my paraphrase. Right? So even raising kids, we can do it supernaturally. But watch this. It's the same in James chapter 1. He said, if you lack wisdom, if anybody lacks wisdom, let's just go there and apply this to relationships right now with kids, grandkids, maybe, as we're going to find out, husbands, wives, bosses, employees. Come on, look at James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Huh? How many enjoy your trials? Bless God. I'm having a party today. Sometimes you got to have joy by faith, right? Through gritted teeth. Praise the Lord. When raising kids, praise the Lord, right? Dealing with your boss, praise the Lord. Knowing that the testing of your faith, see, trials will test your faith. Now, what's that talking about? How grounded are you in Christ? And how grounded is Christ in you? Are you living your life out of your relationship with God, or is he just a part of it? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, on what day? At what hour? See, but we compartmentalize that. Well, you know, I go to church on Sunday. Yeah, but you're living like the devil on Monday. Right? And I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying that you're not living in Christ the way that you could or should. Right? Okay, so now look, he says, so when you get into stuff, and we're all going to get into stuff, right? Trials, and but he said count it joy. Why? Because the testing or the application, look at it just a little, the application of your faith in the midst of the trial will produce endurance. In other words, you'll get stronger. Come on, you'll get stronger. In other words, you know, when you're raising children and that you want to tear your hair out, and or grandchildren, or even the husband, wife, or when you want to tear your, no, Lord, thank you, because I'm in this with you, God. You've given me this child. You've given me, you know, this relationship. So, God, I'm thanking you in the midst of it because I'm not in this alone. You're with me. Right? And I'm living this out of my relationship with you. That's called faith, right? And that's going to make me stronger. But here's the deal. If you try to live that out on your strength, CPS could be called. Yeah. Right? Because it's frustrating. Because you can't figure it out, because you don't know what to do. But if you take a few seconds even in the midst of it all and you go, God, I thank you that you're with me. Lord, I thank you that you're going to give me wisdom. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show me exactly what to do. I'm not walking on this earth alone, right? In fact, Christ is in me. And the life that I'm living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we're talking about the relationships in Ephesians chapter 6, we're really coming back to, I'm in Christ. But then he goes on in James to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who give liberally and will upbraid not. In other words, that means he'll give it to you. If you ask him, he'll give it to you. But let him ask in faith. So what does that mean? What does that look like? God, I need help here. I need wisdom. Lord, I'm not sure what to do in this circumstance. This child that you have given me to rear needs some special attention, and I don't know the heart of the child, and I don't know exactly the steps that I'm supposed to do, but you're with me, and so I'm asking you for help, and you said you wouldn't deny me. So in my faith walk, I'm walking this out with you. So it's not like my condition of not knowing is a permanent one. You're going to show me. You're going to, and then he shows you. And then something else comes up and he shows you. And something else comes and you get stronger in your conviction that God's with me. God will help me. God will get me through. Shoo. Glory to God. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 5, he goes on to talk about bondservants. Now, we don't have many bondservants today, but we do have employees and employers, right? And so we're going to kind of put that in this context. But this, he's talking about bondservants or slaves, really. He says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. In other words, you're living out as a representative of Christ to your boss. Right? And in another verse, it says to work as unto the Lord. In other words, everything that you do, do it as unto the Lord. So it's kind of like, you know, would you lie to the Lord? Would you give an excuse to the Lord? Would you not show up when the Lord expected you to be there? Would you, you know, would you do a just enough to get by to the Lord? Well, then don't do that to your employer. Come on. I can remember, you know, working in the shipyard, and we worked in graveyard, and we were in a shop where there was a supervisor over us, but he was really involved with another shop, and we saw him maybe once or twice a week. We were there by ourselves, really. And so breaks, you know, coffee breaks, all that stuff are supposed to be 10 minutes. Sometimes they lasted just a little lot longer than that, right? A little lot longer than that. But man, I was, you know, in those situations, it's easy to go, well, you know, come on, I'm doing my work. It's all good. But there was a conviction in my heart that, no, I'm working for the Lord. Right? Right.
I was talking about it in the meeting, and I said, the Lord put it on me that I should try something, you know, because I knew it wasn't right. And he goes, you talked to the Lord about making wastewater treatment plant changes? And I said, yeah. I said, things would go a lot better if we all did. Oops.
No, but that's truth. Well, I mean, if it was convicting, good, right? Good. But that's the reality. If our relationship is right with God, he's with us, right? And if he's with us, and he's willing to help us, we're kind of dumb not to take it. But at the same time, if we've asked him and we're still in turmoil, then we haven't really asked him in faith. Right? And so we're going to talk about that in a minute. What do we do in those circumstances? But we're living out our life in Christ. And look at the next verse. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Again, our lives need to be lived out of our position in Christ. Because my sins have been forgiven, and because I'm no longer a slave, but now I'm a son or a child of God, my life should be different. But not because I'm going, okay, I'm not doing this, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not doing that, so everybody else can see how good of a Christian I am. That has nothing to do with it. But because that God lives in me and God is with me and God is showing me that a situation like that, God told me to throttle down the pump so that the flow could be accurate. Yeah. Well, you think God speaks to you that way? Yes, he does. And for us, it should be our normal and not every 3-year occurrence. Well, he knows. He does. He does know. I tell you, I've worked on a lot of cars. My Lord, how? Yeah, he does a little about clutches. He knows a little about wiring too. But the point is like, are we living our lives out of our position in Jesus? Are we letting that affect us everywhere we are? I don't know about you, but I come from a large family, and we get together. So in a lot of my family, if they're saved, they're very nominally saved. I'll just put it that way, right? They don't really walk out what I'm talking right now. But I try to take myself and put myself in that position and not take Christ out of the position, but I take him with me. Does this make sense at all? Right? And that's how we ought to be living our lives out. And the cool thing is that he's really there. He's really there, and he wants to show himself off through you. In fact, we read it in Ephesians chapter 1. The grace of God is going to be revealed for eternity as like a trophy for him. And that's you. That's me. Look what God has done. But we can believe that. We can live that out, you know. So that when we're sitting in the doctor's office, it's not going exactly the way that we can. We go, well, that's not exactly what I did here. But, you know, Jesus, you're with me. So really, what's the big deal? All right, you'll show me what to do. And what's the worst that could happen? What is the worst that could happen? I could die and go to heaven. That's about the that's going to be the best day of my life, right? So again, it's about living our lives out in Christ Jesus. It's so good. It's so good. Verse says, doing with goodwill, doing service as the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether it be a slave or free. In other words, and again, here's where we get tripped up. I do something nice for Justin. Then I do something again nice for Justin. Then I do something again nice for Justin. And then it's, yeah, and he's going, come on. But then I'm going, well, look at, I've been keeping score. And then when I need something nice done to me, Justin's nowhere to be found.
Busy, bro.
Right, yeah. I'm sorry, man. I got stuff. Right, yeah, I got TV. My show's on. I really like American Idol. But anyway, right. But watch this. I've just lived my life out with Justin being over as my provider.
Yeah, that's good.
When he makes a lousy provider compared to the one who has everything. Right? So if we live our lives for Jesus and we do our acts of service even as unto Him, I'm not dependent on Justin. God's my source. He'll take care of me, man. He'll do it. He'll do it. In fact, He's already done it, and I just got to walk in the light of it in thanksgiving, right? So we're living our lives out of that, all of our relationships. Now, look, I think it's interesting because he's talking about employers, but he talks about employees too. He says, and you masters, you bosses, do the same things to them. Give up on threatening, knowing that your own master in heaven and there's no partiality with him. Right? He's saying, look, quit manipulating people or treating them less than you would treat me. I'm just going to get off just a little bit. But anytime that we're trying to manipulate people, coerce people, guilt people, we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. Right? Now watch this. I could come up to somebody and know that I'm good at manipulating them, right? And so I can get from them what I want from them by saying the right thing, but I've just entered into a zone that I should never get in. Why? Because it's not honest, it's not true, it's not, you know. And really, I'm trying to manipulate you to get my needs met when I should trust that God's going to meet my needs, right? It's one thing to put out a need, it's another thing to try to manipulate somebody to meet that need. And you know, as pastors, as ministers, as, you know, we have a project coming up and we go, you know, I need some money, man. I need some money. Let's see. Joe gave me this much money last time when I did such and such. I think I'll go visit Joe. And I'll do such and such, and maybe he'll give me again such and such. And it's not good. Why? Because you're not living in Christ, you're living in your ability to manipulate Joe to get what you want. And I'll just give you an example of this. Years ago, when I was going to Bible school, I had already purchased my tickets to come home for Christmas, and I was getting ready to come home for Christmas, and the alternator went out in my car, and so I had to spend, it was quite a bit of money back then for that alternator, and got it all fixed. So I got on the plane with like $13 in my pocket, and I was going to be up here for 2 weeks. Even back in 1980, $13 didn't go a long way for 2 weeks. And so I'm flying between Tulsa and Denver. You know, I'm going to make a connection in Denver and then fly on to Seattle. And I'm going up there and I'm saying, Lord, I'm a king's kid. This is not right that I'm going to go home and I'm going to have to go back to my... See, I was like 27 at the time, 26, 27. I'd been on my own, paying my own way for a long time. It's not right that I need to go back and be a beggar and look at my folks to take care of paying for gas in the car, doing this and doing that. It just doesn't look right. So I'm just going to thank you right now. You're going to supply all of my needs, right? And so, but then I started going, okay, God's going to take care of my needs. Maybe I can go over to this group, Full Gospel Businessmen meeting, and maybe they'll let me preach, and they'll give me an offering. And maybe I can go over to this friend who has a Bible study, and, you know, they'll take up an offering for me. And the Holy Spirit just arrested me and said, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, well, you know, I'm just... He said, who's your source? I said, oh, forgive me, God. I don't have to figure this out. I just have to trust you. I just have to trust you. So I don't have to go manipulate this person or try to finagle this or try to get that. Lord, I just need to trust you as my source. And you'll take care of me. So I get off the plane. Again, this is 1980. I get off the plane in Denver, and there had been a lot of weather because it's Christmas time, and there were a lot of flights that were backed up. And so they made an announcement. They said, listen, anybody that will give up their flight, we'll get them on the next flight to Seattle and give them $50, you know, at the time. Whoa, isn't that awesome? But I thought, you know, there's people waiting for me. That'd be kind of an inconvenience. I better, you know, get on the plane. But as I'm going up to the plane and I'm going, and I sat down, I went, oh, I missed it. I missed it. I said, and I did this. I said, Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me. But have them make an announcement. I'll get off the plane. I'm telling you, as God is my witness, within a minute, the pilot comes on. He says, ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing severe weather over Seattle right now, and we're going to have to add a few more units of fuel. And so we're asking for 3 volunteers to give up their seats to... Before he got through with it, I was off the plane. And when I got up to the desk, right, it was not 50, it was not 75, but it was $125. Amen. Back in 1980, right? Because I'm a king's kid. Amen. And God's going to take care of me. Now, I didn't manipulate that. I didn't even think that was possible, right? And so then, again, Christmas time comes. It was one of those years, and it was a very rarity, where we picked names to get people gifts. My aunt just happened to pick me. She happened to pick me. You know what she got me?
$100.
She got me a wallet with $50 in it. Right? What am I saying? When we stay in Christ and we quit trying to manipulate people to take his spot, then God will take care of us. Right? I mean, I thank God for doctors, but doctors aren't your healer. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You know, I thank God for lawyers, but they're not your advocate. I thank God for employers, but they're not your source. And if they are, then you're living outside of your relationship with God. Is that clear? I mean, I think that's just, it's so cool. And God's resources are a lot bigger than your hourly wage. Or what the state's going to pay you, or what Social Security will pay you, or what... So we need to shift that, say, oh God, forgive me. I've been looking at these people as my source. Forgive me for that. Show me. You know. All right, verse 10. I said all of that to say this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And isn't that what we've been talking about? The whole months of Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord. What does that mean? Be strong in who God is, but also be strong in who God has made you to be. I'm accepted in the beloved, right? I'm redeemed. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I have the love of God on the inside of me. I have the one who is going to give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened, that I might know what is the glorious inheritance in the saint. Come on, that's why. So be strong in that. Right? Be strong in the Lord, but be strong in what the Lord has told you and what he's spoken to and what he's purchased for you. Be strong in the Lord. Right? But this is a strength that's, again, how would it be if you said, you know what, I'm going to work out. Justin and I were talking about this today, but I'm going to work out. So, yep, going to join a gym. I think I'll go there Sunday for about a half hour. And then I'll go next Sunday for about a half hour. I skip a week because, you know, the Super Bowl's on. And then I'll go the next Sunday for a half hour. How much strength are you going to gain? None. Zip. But if you go with the mentality that you're getting strong is a priority, then you're going to wake up in the morning and say, what do I need to do today? Right? Somebody that's really interested in working on it and they're overboard with it, they don't work on the same muscle group every day. On Monday, I'm going to do my arms. On Tuesday, I'm going to do my legs. Wednesday, I'm going to do cardio. And you know, it's right? But every day is planned out to become strengthened. So be strong in the Lord. So how am I living my life out? I'm living my life out so that I'm strong in the Lord all the time. Come on. Come on, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In other words, I'm not living in my might and my ability. I'm living out of who He's made me to be. I can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But it's not, and I love that, it's not just how strong He is, but what authority He's given. It's one thing to have strength. It's another thing to have the authority to use the strength. Right? You can, you know, a policeman has the firepower of a gun, but he has limitations on when he can use the gun. Right? So it's like, Lord, show me what strength I have, and then show me how to apply it. So be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. This is so good. This is gooder than I'm laying it down. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now let me read this the way most of us read it. Put on the whole armor of God that we might just get by the wiles of the devil. No, it says that you'll be able to withstand. You'll be able to withstand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. In other words, whatever Satan's putting down, I'm standing against. But I'm not standing against in my own power. I'm standing in His power. But I need to know who I am in Christ in order to be able to stand there. Now I don't know if you all believe this, but I totally believe this, that there are demons all over the place. I think there's a demon of this and a demon of that, and there's spiritual wickedness in high places and all of that. But if I read my Bible correctly, that 1/3 of the angels followed Lucifer. And I was pretty good in math in school. So if there's 1/3 that left with him, there was 2/3 that remained. And again, in my math skills, 2/3 is more than 1/3. So even without anything else, I've got them outnumbered 2-1. But that doesn't even get into the position that I am in Christ. Because in Christ Jesus, I have authority. He said to His disciples, and this was before the new birth. This was under the association anointing. In other words, they're around Christ, so this anointing came on them. But we're in a different place because we're in the new birth, and He's not around us, He's in us. You understand? But on the around, He said, behold, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What does that mean? When we're afraid of the devil, it's only because we're listening to the lie that he has power over us. And the reality is, if you knew who you were in Christ Jesus and you began to stand up, they would whimper and whine and run from you. Go to James chapter 4. Hallelujah. How many, honestly, you feel like the enemy is just, sometimes have just run you over. Right? You're just like, and how many have heard, I just feel like I'm getting beat up. Right? That should never be. Should never be. But there's reasons for it, and we'll just see a few right here. Yeah. So in James chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace. Aren't you? He gives more grace. I'm a grace person. I live under the grace of God. I live in the grace of God. And if there's not enough in my life, then he gives more. Just saying. What's grace? Grace is simply that God wants to do it, so he's doing it. His love is just being poured out of me because he wants to do it. I love it. Now listen to this. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now what does that mean? I'm standing against the devil. I can do this. You're whooped. You're already whooped. Because it's not your strength. Right? So what is that? Bless God, I'm this. Well, who are you pointing to? You're pointing to me. Right? Well, that's pride. And pride's no good. You ought to do a study on pride. Go throughout the whole Bible on pride, and you go, I don't want to touch that. Right? It says that God resists the proud. What does that mean? So you're acting in pride? But he says, I love this, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, the humble is not somebody who's just, I'm just a worm just walking through life. No, true humility is agreeing with God. Whatever God says, I'm going to submit myself to that. Humility, watch this, humility and worship are kind of the same thing. You know, worship doesn't mean sing a slow song with a lot of oohs and ahs in it. Worship means to bow, to yield yourself to who God is. That's what humility is. I'm humbling myself before you, God. If you say, I can do this, Lord, I can do it. Right? Watch. Now watch this. This is really good. Therefore, verse 7, submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to God. What does that mean? Well, if he says you can, then you can. And you need to submit to that rather than agreeing with what the enemy is saying about how that he's going to take you out. My past says I can't do that, but God said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, the doctor says it's impossible, but my Bible says that nothing is impossible to those who believe. You know, your banker is saying, and logic is saying, well, listen, man, you should have started a lot younger than you are now. You know, in another 10 years, you're going to be living on the street, and you know, you're going to have to be begging at the corner. No, the Bible says, and my God said he'll supply all of my needs. So I'm going to submit to that, right? Submit to God. Now, watch this. resists the devil. God resists the proud, but the humble who submit to God are to resist the devil. And that's not from a position of, right? Oh, I hope the devil doesn't attack me. No, that's from a position of, devil, get! You have no place in me. I have no place in you. This is what the Word says, and I will not accept your verdict. And well, let's look at that, because sometimes we, most of us don't have a demon coming in the morning, waking us up and appearing to us. But how about oppression? Right? How about the blues? How about, you know, pain? How about other people who are trying to bring us and put us in a box? How about our past that's trying to tell us that we're less than? See, when that comes, we need to resist that. What is resisted? No. No. No, and I think you have to get loud about it. I'll tell you the story, and I'm running over, but I'll tell you the story because it just fits in well. Smith Wigglesworth, who is a preacher in England, and you know, back in those days they'd ride the bus and the trams and all of that, and so he's getting on this bus stop, and there's a lady that's coming, and her dog's following her. So the dog's following her, say, you know, Spot, go home. I don't know the dog's name. Spot, go home. Getting a little closer. Spot, now go home. Spot, go home. And so the bus there, she's got to go on. She turns around, she stomps her foot. Spot, get! And of course, the tail went. Sometimes we got to get that way with the things that the enemy is bringing to us to defeat us. In other words, depression, I'm not putting up with you. Right? God didn't bring this to me. Confusion, God did not bring you. So I'm going to resist you and stand in who I am in Christ Jesus. Come on. So tonight, I mean, sickness comes. Here's what we do. You start feeling a little cold come on or something. You go, man, I got the sniffles. Well, okay. Are you resisting them? Are you taking the Word of God and saying, no, by His stripes I'm healed? Or are you going, well, you know, it is flu season after all. You know, the coronavirus is coming. Some people are planning for it already. They're not even resisting at all. And so, no, in Jesus' name, I refuse. Another story, and then I will close. Years ago, growing up, this went way back to playing soccer as a kid. They used to do this drill where they'd line half of us up over here and half of us over here. They'd put the ball in the middle, and we were to run to get to the ball first and kick it out of the way. That was the drill. So I'm running, and there's another guy about my size, about the same speed. That meant he was really slow, too. The same speed. We're running up to that ball, and we hook ankles at the ball. It hurt, and it did something in my back, right? And so periodically over the years, you know, and, well, that's just my back, you know, my back's my back, right? That was before I got saved. But after I got saved, I heard that by His stripes I'm healed. And so whenever I start to feel the pain, even to this day, I say, no, I will not put up with that in Jesus' name. I'm resisting that in Jesus. Yet still feel the pain. The pain was still there, but I'm resisting it. Here's what I'm telling you, is that the pain doesn't last for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, a month. You know, it's very rare that back pain lasts over a day with me, where before I could have been out for 2 or 3 weeks. Why? Because I don't get, you know, agree with the pain. I resist. So poverty we have to resist. Lack we have to resist. Confusion we have to resist. Right? Low self-worth we have to resist. The lies that the enemy tells, we have to resist. But we resist it not based on us, but we resist it on who we are in Him. Did you get anything tonight? Come on. Anybody have resisting to do tonight? Come on. So stand strong and quit agreeing with it and quit accepting it. And again, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor or go, you do take me. I'm not saying any of that, but I'm saying at least start to resist it rather than say, well, that's just who I am. That's what the diagnosis is. That's what the doctor say I have. That's who is defining me now. What I'm saying is let this define you instead of the report. And start resisting it. Start speaking at it with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I could continue for another hour for sure. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we honor you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for the children downstairs as Miss Marcy is feeding them the Word of God. Lord, it's getting into their spirits. Donnie outside in the youth group, Father, we thank you that you're doing eternal work in them. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, right now, for ourselves tonight, we're going to act on your Word, and anything that the enemy has planned for us or is in the middle of a scheme where we're concerned right now, in the name of Jesus, we resist it. We resist it. We're humbling ourselves to you, God. If you have anything to say, any corrections we need to make, Lord, correct us. But right now, in the name of Jesus, we are who you say we are. You didn't bring a spirit of confusion. You didn't bring us a spirit of fear. Father, we resist those in Jesus' name, and we're going to live for you. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Father, we thank you for the offering tonight. Lord, we thank you for this building, Lord. We thank you that we're possessing the building, God. We thank you for every day that we're in it, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for your provision in it. And Lord, we just want to honor you and praise you and glorify you. You meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. If you need prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. Go with God, be blessed, and go get your kids. Love you too, man. Thanks for coming. Yeah.